Thanks for joining me for another episode of Accented the Podcast. In each episode, you will hear a fascinating story from one of our guests. And yes, it is real. This series is aimed at English learners who want to improve their listening comprehension by listening to a variety of accents. Today you're going to be hearing from Yuto, and he is the podcast host of Quirky Japanese. Hello and welcome to episode number 31. Today I am speaking with Yuto, who is Japanese and is currently living in Australia. I discovered Yuto because he has a very cool podcast called Quirky Japanese. And I would love to go and visit Japan, especially when this pandemic is over. I would be there in a heartbeat. So I was quite excited to chat to Yuto and talk about some of the cultural differences between Australia and Japan. I'm going to just dive in to some vocabulary and some phrases that were used during the interview. Yuto uses the word share house to explain where him and his partner were living when they first met. So he says they were both living in an international share house. Now, basically, this compound word, share house, basically means that you're sharing a house with multiple people. And usually this happens when you're going to university. During this same conversation, Yuto used the French word cliché. And he said, now this is a cliché. So a cliché is something that is quite predictable and what you expect. So if, say, a man asks a woman to go to dinner with him and he brings roses and chocolates when he picks her up. So you can see that this is a bit of possibly an expectation. You could also even say it's a stereotype. So a cliche is something that is not a surprise and it actually makes a little bit of sense. I start chatting to Yuto about an animation company from Japan called Studio Ghibli. And Studio Ghibli is pretty much quite like, if I'm going to compare, I guess a comparison's not really fair, but it would be close to how Disney is in Western society. So Studio Ghibli is huge. People watch all their films all the time in Japan, but not only in Japan, it's got a really big following worldwide. One of the most famous characters from the Studio Ghibli films is Totoro. Google it, make sure you watch a Studio Ghibli film. I'm a huge fan of them, but my friend Totoro is one of the best, and it's a great family-friendly film that I love watching with my children. During this conversation, Yuto asks me what language I watch the films in. I love watching them in Japanese with English subtitles. And he uses the word voiceover. Now, voiceover means when somebody is speaking over something. Now, in previous episodes, I've used the word dub. Voiceover generally is spoken over something. So a voiceover, you can sometimes hear another voice in the background. For example, a voiceover would happen when somebody on the news could be speaking in one language and then they have a voiceover that will translate that and have somebody speaking in the language that the television show is being broadcast in. So say if I had somebody speaking Japanese and there might be a voiceover speaking over them in English. So you could slightly hear the Japanese language, but the majority of it is in English. You could also have a voiceover part where somebody's speaking in a film or a TV show and they're not actually a character in the story. They could be the narrator. So that's another time when a voiceover can come in on film. A phrase that Yuto used, which is actually quite common in English, is tell me about it. And I actually probably didn't say it that well then. He was like, oh, tell me about it. And people use that to be like exaggerating something. So say if they're saying, oh, it's really hot today. Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, it's so hot. Okay, so you're emphasizing something. Or you could use it, say, if someone's jokes aren't funny and you say, oh, these jokes, they're so boring. And you could say, oh, tell me about it. So you're agreeing with that person and you're sort of emphasizing, yes, I think you've heard enough from me. Let's get on with the interview. Today I am speaking with Yuto. He is Japanese. And he has a really cool podcast called Quirky Japanese. Welcome, Yuto.
Hi, Kimberly. Nice to meet you.
Yes, thank you. And what's really cool is, well, actually, Japan is on the same time usually as Australia, but you are in Australia. You're in Melbourne. So tell us Correct. Why you're there.
Well, it's a long story. To short, I met my partner in Japan in Tokyo. So where I am from, and the lab brings us to the Australia. So I'm living with her in Melbourne.
Ah, is and is right? she Japanese as well?
So she grew up in Melbourne, and so she's Australian.
Okay, so that's always usually the case why people move to another country for love.
Agree, yeah.
Oh, lovely. So you both work together in Japan?
Where we met was in a share house, sort of international share house. So we were just a friend when I met her first time and asked her out, walked out. It sounds like a cliche. It sounds cliche, but it's like a very traditional, you know, love story.
And does she speak Japanese?
She does. We try to speak more often in Japanese in Australia, which is good for her study. And her level is quite high, yeah.
Oh, wow. You know, I would love to learn Japanese. I think it's such a lovely language. I'm learning French, but the French love Japanese culture too. They're always playing on TV, Studio Ghibli. My husband even bought for me the film. I remember I've got the DVD. I think it's Spirited Away. Is it right. English name? Is that right? Do you know that film?
I know the film.
Yes. Yeah. So we try and take our kids because sometimes they'll have them on at the cinema here in Australia. And oh, I can't believe I've forgotten the name of the big character, the children. Totoro. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, that is it.
We've taken our kids to see that a few times.
Kids love Ghibli movie. I think it's a sort of like grown-up movies and sort of reflecting Japanese culture sometimes. So it's cool to start with, you know. So have you watched the one of the Ghibli movie in French or with English voiceover?
We prefer to watch in Japanese. Right. However, with my kids, because my son is only 7, we watch it in English with him. But when it's my husband and I, we watch it in Japanese.
Great. That's the right way to do to watch a Ghibli movie. I'm not strict to watching movie with subtitles or anything, but especially Ghibli movies sort of developed the English voiceover over the time. So, for example, the Totoro is quite early Ghibli movie. Because this is like accented podcast. So I want to introduce one example of English accent in Ghibli's movie. Is
yes.
that right?
Yes, sure.
So Totoro is like Ari Ghibli movie. So they put English voiceover with American accent, which did well in America. Sort of famous actors and, you know, actor, actress are in it. But towards the end of Ghibli movie, they put like sort of more British accent in it. So you see the development of it. It's really funny to watch it with English accent. That's my hobby these days.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. Yeah. I should check that out. It's interesting because with cartoons, generally, I don't think it matters if you watch it in your language, like say for a Disney film. Mm. So my kids go between because they're bilingual, they speak English and French. So sometimes they might watch a Disney film in French. But when it comes to these, like Studio Ghibli, it's so much better in Japanese. Like, I don't know why, but it's to watch it in English, it just, I think it takes away from it. You really need to watch it in Japanese.
I see what you mean. Like especially, no offense to all like Americans, but no, especially like American accents sort of have strong emphasis, you know, lots in words. So sort of opposite to Japanese, which doesn't have any strict emphasis in the word. You know, for example, like you English have stresses, right? Like participations or like all words as stresses, but Japanese doesn't have it necessarily. So I see what you mean, like the Japanese version have the feeling of it, you know.
Yes, the feeling. Yeah. That's what I was looking for. It has, and it's different, you're right, because we have a stress on words in different parts and the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and just sometimes. Tell me about it. Yeah. No, that's, and it's just interesting. Like sometimes, even the characters, you see when their face gets really big and they're like crying out, and in Japanese, they're doing that. And I'm like, why are they doing that? Or, you know, in English, we wouldn't necessarily do it there. So that's what I think is fascinating about the culture is it's obviously cultural and it seems to sound better.
Yeah, take that example of the like sort of facial expression in Japanese. So it's sort of like gibberish and sort of animatic, you know, like big expressions like laughing and crying. But in Ghibli movie, like Totoro's characters like crying and like laughing all the time with sort of like plain Japanese accent. So we sort of need that like obvious sign to communicate to the others, you know, because we don't have that strong accents as opposed to the English accent have really strong stresses.
No, that's so true. So tell me about your podcast, Quirky Japanese. Who is it for? Is it for Australians or anyone in the world that just wants to find out about the Japanese culture?
My podcast is made for sort of Australian and Japanese. So I introduce Japanese news to Australian as foreign correspondent. And I introduce Australian news to the Japanese as, you know, Australian resident, temporary resident. So sort of delivering to like both countries' listeners, but somehow American loves it. I don't know.
I love listening to the differences between Japanese culture and Australia. What is really different to you that you're like, oh my goodness, this is so foreign?
Oh God, 100 examples, but I don't know which one I should take. But well, just food, I guess. You know, Australians' food is generous amount of serving, but when you go to Japan, it's like a food for cat. It's like a really tiny dishes. So that's a big surprise when I came to Australia.
You guys must eat very small portions. I should eat like a Japanese person.
Oh, I mean, like I love eating and cooking, so I'm not criticizing it, but just really big. It just, I can't finish it when you go to breakfast. It's like three eggs and like two big toasts and yeah, but I get used to it, you know.
No, that it is true. They are bigger portions and I agree with you because I even have my portion sizes are a lot smaller now, and even what I eat you know, growing up as an Australian and now having lived in Italy and in France, and the French have very small portion sizes. So maybe the Japanese and French should, yes, go to a restaurant in France and it's very small.
Quality, not the quantity. Yeah.
Yes, quality, not quantity. Exactly. But you are right. The portion sizes here are quite, especially restaurants. And I think you get annoyed in Australia if you don't have a big portion size. You're like, hey, that's not what I paid for.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, often I can't finish it, just leave it on the table. So that's a little bit lewd in Japanese culture, like leaving food on the dish.
Oh, really?
Sort of similar to the Chinese culture. But yeah, so that's why I feel embarrassed often in Australia.
What else do you feel embarrassed about? Because nobody would worry here about leaving food on the more at a restaurant. I know, not so much at someone's house. At least if you try, and if you can't eat it, people won't be offended.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, between friends, fine. What else? I feel embarrassed if my dogs they urinated like in a very awkward position, like someone's post or, you know, someone's property. That's when I feel embarrassed.
Wow, that is fascinating. I don't think Australians care so much about that. No, they don't. They don't care. Wow, so you have to have a well-trained dog in Japan.
Well, when you go to there, you realize how tiny the dogs are in Japan. So yeah, they're generally well trained because they're usually house dog as opposed to Australians and outside dogs, or maybe, I don't know, but they're really tiny in Japan.
What type of dog do you have?
All sorts. It's a mixed breed usually because it's, you know, the scientists mess up their DNAs and like they make it smaller and smaller, so like poodles and like dachshund and Shiba Inu. I guess Shiba Inu is like middle size, but
I'll have to look up that dog. I don't even know what that looks like. It's a tiny dog, is it?
They're really tiny. It's like a size of toaster. It's really tiny.
How do you feel about the bathroom situation here? Because what I understand is, do you have a shower first, then go into the bath? Like, would you ever just go straight into a bath?
I have high standard to the bathroom situation. And I have to say, because the hygienic, we're very hygienic in Japan, I'd say. So to take an example, like, you know, the beginning of the coronavirus, everyone worried about like washing hands and like, you know, keep distance, wearing masks. So Japan did that well in that times. So like go to the public toilet, you see cleaners everywhere, like they're doing like, you know, hourly cleanings, and you don't have to touch anything in the toilet. The doors open automatically, the toilets open automatically, and they just, you know, you urinate it that right spot and just go back to, you know, public. So I'd say the Australia's public toilet was a bit of disappointment, but I get used to it, you know.
If you're brought up that way, look, I must say I was at the beach the other day with my family, and I don't think anybody likes to go to a public toilet. But I didn't want to touch the door either. And with COVID-19, I was thinking, I'm going to quickly sanitize my hands after that, because it's going to a toilet that everybody's been to. I love the fact that they're automatic doors. That is brilliant.
Yeah, yes, yes. So it's sort of like a, I don't know what to say, but yeah.
It must be such a cultural shock, I think, coming to Australia.
Yeah, it is. It is. It was a big transition from Japan to Australia because since I've never been living in any other countries apart from just traveling, you know, short term. So, yeah, like first year as a working holiday visa holder, it was hard to find job in Australia in a local cafes or anywhere, you know, where locals work. So I just worked within Japanese community. So it was good in that way, but my English wasn't very good at that moment. But yeah, like as you live more and you watch news and, you know, take local papers, and you sort of understand like what's the sort of like pragmatics in the community. This sort of pragmatics is the word in like linguistics, like to understand the sort of implication behind the language. So in Japan, for example, the news is really different. For example, there's a news like this: the government considered to declare the nationwide state of emergency in response to the widespread coronavirus, recorded 4,000 cases yesterday. So in English news, you wouldn't say consider to declare if that is news. You would say government declare nationwide state of emergency in response to the widespread coronavirus. So, but it's important to say to consider because the government hasn't decided. So that's sort of difference within news language is also a big part of the cultural revelation to me. So that was a wow moment, you know, like, whoa, the English is really clear, you know.
So tell me, do you have a news background?
Yes, I do. I studied broadcasting in radio major in college, then worked 2 years for a company called TV Tokyo, and I was an assistant to producer of TV program. It sounds cool, but I was a salary man. You know the salary man?
No, what's that?
It's a word. It's like an ordinary worker, sort of like everyone start working for companies, doing this and that, miscellaneous things. So, yeah. So I was just a salaryman.
Thank you so much for coming on Accented. And I'll make sure to put the link to your podcast in the show notes because I really think people should go out and listen to it and find out more about Japanese news and Japanese culture.
Thanks for having me, Kimberly.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Mata ne.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Accented. I'm your host, Kimberly Law. Accented is released on the 15th and 30th of each month. If you'd like to find out more about me, please head to kimslawofenglish.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts, so don't forget to leave a review of the podcast or even a star rating. Speak to you soon.